Welcome to the podcast. Today's topic will be South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Did it engender reconciliation between perpetrator and victim?
Apartheid. The word comes from the Afrikaans words meaning apart and hood, and translates as apartness. The apartheid state in South Africa was a time of racial segregation during which non-whites, especially the black majority, were oppressed by the white Afrikaans minority. Constructed by Hendrik Verwoerd and the National Party of South Africa, apartheid brought the creation of many racist and segregationalist pieces of legislation aimed at keeping black South Africans restricted to their particular areas and treated as second-class citizens. Groups like the ANC and the Pan-African Congress revolted and eventually resorted to sabotage in order to express their vehement opposition to the apartheid state. It was not until the early 1990s when the National Party, under the more liberal F.W. de Klerk, that negotiations to end apartheid began. The end to apartheid was truly achieved when Nelson Mandela was elected president of South Africa under the ANC. In order to establish better relationships between perpetrators and victims, the promotion of National Unity and Reconciliation Act No. 34 of 1995 allowed a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to be formed. The commission operated on the basis of restorative rather than retributive justice. Chairman of the commission, Desmond Tutu, said rather than punishing perpetrators for crimes, whether it was to preserve or destroy the apartheid state, the commission sought to redress or restore a balance that has been knocked askew. Thus, those who came forward with their stories could be given amnesty for their crimes, or victims could share their stories and perhaps reconcile with their perpetrators. The commission was broadcast throughout South Africa's various media outlets with the hopes that South Africans could truly have a sense of the atrocities that were brought about because of apartheid. The success of the commission was, and still is, very much debated. If the purpose was for all South Africans to come forth with the truth, why were so few Afrikaners who upheld the apartheid state asking for amnesty? More importantly, were all South Africans willing to reconcile with one another, with the skeletons in South Africa's closet out for the world to see?
That the TRC gave amnesty to those who came forward and applied for it was problematic for many of the victims and their families. Many wanted retribution for their losses, and the perpetrator was able to get off without litigation. Was painful. The widows of the Craddock Four, the mothers of the Gigalitu Seven, and the families of Steve Biko, to name a few, all wanted to press charges, and in these cases, reconciliation obviously failed. Still more frustrated that the white perpetrators refused to come out to give testimony in any large scale, and as was the case of the Craddock Four murders and others, many perpetrators did not fully disclose all of their crimes, and the states failed to prosecute. Some cases did end in forgiveness and reconciliation between the two parties, like the case of Amy Beale's murder. But by and large, the TRC's hearings left victims wanting more, although in the general public, they were satisfied with the results.
Because of the nature of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, there have been various different opinions about its overall success. Many who took part in the TRC have maintained that something as subjective as reconciliation can only be measured in the decades to follow, arguing that it is a long-term process which will benefit the generations to come more than the present citizens of South Africa. While most people agree that the TRC did achieve its objective in exposing truth to the country, there are quite a few dissenting opinions concerning the Commission's realization of national reconciliation. In an address to the South African Parliament in May of 1998, then-Deputy President Thabo Mbeki explicitly defined reconciliation as, quote, the creation of a non-racial, non-sexist society, the healing of the divisions of the past, and the improvement of the quality of life of all citizens, end quote. Focusing on this last definition, Mbeki linked the process of national reconciliation with the economic justice in South Africa, pointing out that it is material conditions just as much as race or political affiliations that have divided the country. Mbeki concluded that the objective of the TRC had not been realized, based on the South African wealth gap that is still so wide today. In a minority position addendum to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report, Commissioner Wynand Malan stated his own reasons for believing that reconciliation had not been achieved in South Africa. He argues that the formula for reconciliation put forth by the TRC is too religious and dogmatic. He says that confession and repentance work on an individual level, but not a national one. He says that the only way to achieve national unity is through an an acceptance of different cultures, value systems, religions, and even versions of history, forcing one side of South Africa, the Afrikaners, to give up their versions of the past and accept it as told by blacks, cannot really function as reconciliation. Mallon concludes that the only way to truly begin moving towards national unity is by acknowledging the evils of apartheid, but also reframing South African history, quote, to include both perpetrators and victims as the ultimate perpetrator, namely the conflict of the past, end quote.
While accepting his Nobel Peace Prize in 1984, Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, "There is no peace in Southern Africa. There is no peace because there is no justice. There can be no real peace and security until there is first justice enjoyed by all inhabitants of that beautiful land. In the eyes of many, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission may have substituted judicial justice for amnesty, forsaking punishment for forgiveness. However, the question still remains, did the Commission engender reconciliations between perpetrators and victims? A study, including a small-scale poll conducted by sociologists in 2004, suggests that while an overwhelming majority of white South Africans responded that the TRC was not effective in bringing about reconciliation, a majority of the black, specifically the Xhosa population, polled found it effective. There is reason to believe, however, that although the study is correct in the racial difference of perception of the TRC, a majority of South Africans found the commission an effective way to put a formal and mournful end to the violence of the apartheid era. The same short study shows that although blame was dispersed biasly, almost all people admitted that the apartheid system and its backlash were crimes against humanity. This proves that although words like truth and justice may all be relative terms perceived differently by different people, ideas like violence and forgiveness are universal. Although it had its outspoken critics, the TRC brought issues and atrocities into the public discourse that left most South Africans ashamed and ready to move forward with reconciliation and forgiveness.